I'd like to say that we could just be done and go home now, because I get to tackle one of those weird subjects again this morning. And as we do this, I just want to encourage you, if you're a guest here, this is not something we do every week. This is not, we don't focus a lot of our time and energy and effort into this one thing. But today, we're concluding a series that we've been doing called Difference. And for those of you that maybe haven't been around for the last 3-4 weeks, as we've been a part of this series, I just want to begin the same way I have every time. This is all coming from a book entitled Weird by Craig Groeschel. And this is what he says. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're called to be different. You have different values, different passions, different use of your time, different use of your resources. You'll be different as a parent, different as a spouse, different as a co-worker, because God, if you're accepting to follow Him, has called you to be different. Here's the problem. And this is not for you. This is for all of us. This is not me talking to you. This isn't me talking to me as well. The problem for so many people in the culture today, the biggest obstacle to us fully following Christ is our desire to fit. Our desire to look like everyone else. Just as we began doing in grade school, middle school, all the way through high school, into adulthood, we find ourselves doing our very best to look like everyone else. To have the things that everyone else has. So the biggest obstacle for so many to being faithful to God's call is the longing to look like everyone else. But the thing is, God didn't call us to fit in. He called us to stand out, to be different. If you look at what normal is in our culture today, normal is broke, normal is in bondage, normal is fear, normal is sleepless nights, normal is anxiety. So why would we want anything to do with normal? Our text, our scripture for this entire series has come from Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. And it's God speaking of Caleb. And he says this, "My servant Caleb, because he had a what?" Oh, that was weak. "Because he had a what?" "Different spirit." "Because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully." I love that line. It's not just he's saying because Caleb's different, because different can mean a lot of things. We can be different in the wrong ways. Am I right? We can just look weird. We can just be different. But it's the fact that Caleb followed God fully. That God said this, "I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So in the last few weeks, to catch you up, the first week we talked about being different. We talked about Caleb and how he had a different spirit. And because of the decisions Caleb made to be different, he was able to step into his promise, the things God had promised him. The next week we talked about the days of our lives and our time and how we spend our time. And if we want to be different in how we spend our time, there are some things we can do. And if you didn't catch that one, I invite you to go back and listen to it. It's on the website. It's out there somewhere. But if finally last week we talked about in being different, we follow the Spirit. Everybody knows the Trinity. We know there's Father God, there's God the Son, or Jesus, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And what a lot of us like to do is follow God because we understand that God is our Father. We like to hear Jesus is the one who died for us. He's the Son who God sent in order to save us. But that Holy Spirit just kind of hangs out here on the side. And so we talked about how to bring the Trinity back together and to follow the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we're going to look different. Today, I get a really fun subject. We're going to talk about finances and tithing and how much fun tithing is. Oh boy, you can't wait. I know. If you saw the back of the bulletin, you were just like, "Man, I've been waiting on this sermon all year. Finally, he's going to talk about tithing." Well, relax. We're here today. And there's laughter because I know that's not the case. So, as we talk about this, Too many pastors have ruined this for the church. Too many pastors have manipulated Scripture or manipulated people into thinking as to why they should give and how they should give and what happens when you give. So I'm going to do my best today to just, I'm entitling this Tithing 101. Just like when you began school and it was like the basics. I'm just going to go back and kind of cover what is tithing? What is offerings? And what's the difference? But here's the thing to understand. Jesus spoke more about how to handle our finances and manage material things than he did any other subject. So you wonder, well, why are we going to talk about money? Why are we going to, pastors always want to talk about this. Pastors hate talking about this, and churchgoers hate hearing about it. Can I just be honest with you? And there's a reason, and I'll get to that in just a moment. I want to tell you a story just to break the ice a little bit and have a little fun with you. Anybody ever heard of Henry Ford? Okay, we got Ford Motors. We know who Henry Ford is. He was once asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. And this billionaire decided, he's like, yeah, I can do this. So he donated $5,000 towards this medical facility that's going to be built. However, the next day in the newspaper, the headline read, Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital, which looks really good, but he's not happy about it. So he calls immediately to complain to the fundraiser and says, I was misunderstood. I said $5,000, to which they replied and said, okay, tomorrow we'll reprint a retraction in the paper and it'll say Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. As you can see, he was not happy about that either. Because of the poor publicity, he decided to go ahead and donate the $50,000. He just did it. But on one condition, that above the door, this biblical inscription would be written. I came among you and you took me in. Okay, some of you might get that later. But he got took. He's feeling as though he got took. Okay, so sometimes we feel like when it comes to our money that we get took. Anybody ever purchase something and you feel like you got took? Maybe it was a vehicle from somebody on Craigslist and you're like, man, this thing's a lemon. I just got took. And it's very hard for us to deal with that because money is very important to us and we don't want to give it to the wrong people. Many times we feel led to give something to someone and we're thinking, but what if they just blow it on the wrong things? If you're led to give, it doesn't matter what they spend it on. You're doing what you were asked to do. So please don't get the idea that all churches just want your money. Here's the difference. The church doesn't want your money. Can I help you understand something? God wants your heart. The church doesn't want your money. God doesn't need your money, but he wants your heart. So as a leader in this church, what I'm talking about today is to help you, not so that I can get your money. Now, have any of you heard of Dave Ramsey? He is the creator of Financial Peace University, written lots of books about finances. I want to give you some statistics that help us understand how our finances affect our heart. 52% of marriages end in divorce. Of those, okay, let's just, of the 52% that end, of those who get divorced in the first 7 years, okay, the first 7 years, 90% of them say that the conflict that they had that they could not resolve was to do with their finances. So a lot of what happens in our marriages happens because of money. And the reason the Bible talks about it so much is because our money is connected to our hearts. So as your pastor, I got to help you understand this. I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't talk about this. Part of the reason we're talking about it is it's part of the book that I've been reading, but it's also part of this book that we all should be reading. Can I get an amen to that? Oh, good. Okay. Maybe I'm naive in thinking this, but I assume the reason that you come, the reason you invite people and you're here this morning is because you want to hear and learn and grow in how to be more like Christ and how to do what Christ has called us to do. And you want to discover what the Bible says about all subjects So once again, if you're a guest today, please don't freak out. Come back next week and we'll be on something totally different, I promise. But giving should be a natural part of our lives. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." And as we attempt to be more like Him, as we attempt to allow Him to overtake our lives, it's only natural that we would begin to have this inclination to want to give ourselves. And here is what God knows. We've already talked about this. God knows for the most part, most of us, the things that will be number one competitors in our lives between He and whatever it may be, it usually involves money. Many people get defensive when we talk about this, but it's because money is a counterfeit God. Money is a counterfeit God. What do I mean by that? Well, many people think money promises what only God can give. Let me give you four examples. Money promises security. If I have more of it, I'll be secure. Money promises freedom. If I have more money, I'll be free. It promises power. If I have enough, I'll be a powerful person. Or significance. If I have enough, I'll be a person of importance. But that is a lie, that money can help you in those ways. Only God can give you security and set you free beyond what happens on the outside. That's one thing to realize here. Can money do anything to your heart? Can it do anything on the inside of you? No. It's an outward thing. And God works in here. God works from inside out in order for us to find happiness, to find freedom, to find significance in this life. It's only things God can give. Let me give you an example. Heaven forbid this ever happened, but if you were to lose a loved one, let's say a child or a spouse at a young age, money cannot help you in that moment. When you're hurting, when you're in need of peace, when you're in need of love and to fill the void in your life, God is the only thing that can fill that void. He's the only thing that can help you in that moment. It doesn't matter how much money you have, it's not going to help. And that's where we understand money is a counterfeit God. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That's interesting. He could have said, you can't serve both God and your job. You can't serve both God and your hobby or whatever it might be in your life. But he understood once again that it all rolls back around to the heart. And where the heart is, that's where we find significance, importance, and all of that. And we place our trust in something. And many times it's money. Cannot serve both. So we understand the struggle here as we begin to talk about this. And I'm beginning to tell people what they are to do with their money. That can get a little weird. But as we go further, I just want to break down what tithes and offering means. Because to many of us, we come in here every week. We have different people come up every week and receive the tithes and offerings. They'll tell a story of how they began tithing and the difference it made in their life. And I'd like for you to hear that. I could stand up here and talk about tithing every week, but you would only hear my story. And you would think that I have a second motive or an ulterior motive to this, but I don't. It's for your benefit. So what does tithe actually mean? Well, I want to take you through this. It's on the back of your bulletin, so you can follow along if you'd like. Take these notes home. Feel free to study this for yourself and don't just take my word for it. I'm happy for you to study this and understand it for yourself. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30 says this, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." Now the Hebrew word for tithe here, it really means a tenth. A tenth. So 10% is where we get the word tithe. That's what it says. A tenth. It's coming from the Hebrew word for tithe. So you may have heard someone for instance, Tim earlier, he said, if you don't tithe, start somewhere. It's a great way to do it. If you haven't budgeted for 10% to just be ripped out of your bank account, then I understand that. Start somewhere. But it will not be a tithe if we're just being realistic here and looking at the word. You can't tenth a 20th. You can't a tenth. So you can start by saying, I'm going to give, I'm going to tithe 5%. But it's not really tithe because tithe comes back to 10%. Does that make sense? I hope so. So start somewhere. That's great. And as you begin to start increasing that until you're able to do what this is talking about, it means a tenth, to give a tenth. If you're a technical person, it also, notice that the scripture says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. It really means we're just returning. It doesn't say give the tithe into the storehouse. It says bring it. We're bringing back what was already God's. We're bringing, how many of you understand, God gives us everything. Can we say amen to that? He gives us everything that we have. We are blessed to have it. So all we're doing is bringing back the portion that he asked. Now, when it comes to tithing, some people make the statement, but the tithe is under the law. And we're not under the law anymore. That's Old Testament. I want to take you back further than the law. Tithe predates the law. We're talking about the law of Moses. So back in the Old Testament, a lot of people say, well, that's just Old Testament. This, it's actually back in Genesis, like the very beginning. You know, Abraham actually tied to Melchizedek 400 years before the law. And then there's Jacob and Esau. Anybody remember Jacob and Esau? The story of, you know, his birthright that Isaac was going to give Esau. And they had this whole family conflict. It was something you probably heard in Sunday school when you were growing up. But Jacob, at one point, he was leaving Beersheba. And he was setting out for Haran, and he's traveling. And on this traveling road, it got late, so he decided to stop over and spend the night on the side of the road. So as he falls asleep, he has a dream, and God is speaking to him in this dream, and he's promising him all kinds of things in this dream. Now I'm going to paraphrase this because of time, but he's promising Jacob this stuff. And so when Jacob wakes up from his rest, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He even says, how awesome is this place? Now, I want to read to you what he says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 through 22. It says, after this, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a what? A tenth. Long before the law of Moses, long before the law that we kind of discredit this, this is way before that. So what about the New Testament? We now live under the New Testament. So what does New Testament say? Well, in Matthew 23:23, Jesus is talking here. And he's not happy. He's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, and your cumin. So what are they doing? They're tithing. Okay? And he says this, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So let's be clear. What's more important? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But look at the next line. You should have practiced the latter. That's justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But did he say, but don't worry about the tithe? No. He says, without neglecting the former. So without neglecting the tithe, focus on justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But don't forget that the tithe is still important, to give the tenth. That's Jesus talking. That's New Testament. And that's where we understand the tithe. Now let's go back and let's talk about Old Testament versus New Testament. A lot of times, I see anything given in the Old Testament, by the time it makes it to the New Testament, the standard didn't stay the same. If anything, the standard went up. Let me give you an example. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Do not kill. However, by the time Jesus is on the scene in the New Testament, you know what he took it to? Don't hate. Forget the idea of don't kill. No, don't forget that. Let me back up there. We still don't want to kill. Don't forget that one. But beyond don't kill them, how about just don't even hate them? Learn to love them. He brought the standard up. Here's another one. Let me look here. Old Testament says don't commit adultery. By the time it got to Jesus in the New Testament, you know what he said? Don't lust. In other words, committing adultery is actually going through the act. But he says, don't even do it in your mind. Don't even look at a person in a lustful way. He upped the standard. And when it came to tithe, yes, it tells us to tithe in the Old Testament. But by the New Testament, you know what Jesus is saying? I want your life. I want all of you. And tithing is just the beginning place for that. To say, God, not only am I giving you my heart to say, take away all the sin, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, whatever there is in there, God, you can have it. But also, I want you to be God of my finances. You're also looking at tithing as under the law. Do you realize we turn to the Old Testament, to Psalm 23 for comfort? We turn to the Old Testament in Psalm 32 for guidance. We read Job and we look at that for comfort in trials and tribulation. So to be consistent, if we're trying to throw out Malachi 3:10 in the Old Testament, we should also throw out John 3:16. Because both, understand something, both were spoken prior to the time that redemption was completed by Jesus dying on the cross. Both were spoken prior to redemption being completed by Jesus on the cross. Now, why am I so focused on this today? Why are we talking about this today? Let me give you an eye-opening statistic. I didn't write this. This is not for this church. I don't know what you give. So don't freak out and think I'm talking to specific people in here. I'm talking to all of us. Can I give you a weird, crazy, scary statistic? This comes from Dave Ramsey as well. 3 to 5% of evangelical Christians tithe. 3 to 5%. That means 95 to 97% of us in the room either don't agree with it, don't understand it, or just don't do it. And it is not up to me to tell you what to do. That is between you and God. But it is up to me to inform you on what it means to tithe so that you understand what the Bible says about tithe. That is a responsibility of mine. And I take it. So that's why we're talking about this. To understand that statistics also suggest, Tim mentioned this earlier, that it seems as though the more people get, the less they give. The statistics suggest that anyone that makes $20,000 or less is 8 times more likely to give than someone who makes $75,000. That's interesting. So in other words, it seems as though the more we get, the less we give. I don't understand that, but I'm just telling you what the statistics show. It's awful quiet in here, and I understand. Please, please come back next week. So we have the tithe. So you understand why we're talking about this every single week, and we receive the tithes and the offerings. So let's talk about offerings. What are offerings? Offerings is just what you freely give above the 10%. So notice, have you ever seen us have a guest speaker here? We still, at the beginning of the service, receive the tithes and the offerings. Because the tithe comes to the storehouse. We're going to learn that in just a moment. But the offerings are above and beyond the tithe. So we'll take up an offering at the end of the service for the speaker. It's not the tithe, it's an offering. We're giving above and beyond the 10% that we've already given. That's the difference between tithes and offerings. I just want you to understand this so that when we stand up here every week and talk about it, you understand the difference. So let's look at the blessings that come from tithing. Number one, we're getting it right now. The blessing of tithing. It's the tithe provides for God's work through His church. That's why Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. The storehouse is the Old Testament picture of the New Testament church. That's what we're here for. So by bringing your tithe into the storehouse, it says, so that there may be food in my house. That's what's happening. There is spiritual food being given out in this house this morning through the worship, through Sunday school class that you've already been to, through the kids ministry, through the Wednesday night ministry that goes on in this place. There is spiritual food that's going out to everyone because you've brought your tithe into the storehouse. It's how we keep the lights on. It's how we keep the screen going. It's how we buy sound systems and all the fun stuff that we have to have in order to have this spiritual food in the place. And here's the great news. This is the part that of ministry that I love the most. Can I be honest with you? Many of you were saved in this building. Many of you have accepted Jesus and gone beyond, been baptized, even turned into one of the ushers or greeters or children's workers. And you've begun to give back into the spiritual food that goes out every single Sunday. You have become a part of the church. And by doing that, you're bringing your tithe into the storehouse when we take up the offering, but you're also giving of your time, your energy, your effort. Man, can I tell you, I was blessed today, the last 2 weeks, I'm going to pick on her just a moment, to have Jeremy, our normal drummer that plays just about every week. He was working on a grinder a few weeks ago, and he got his finger in the way, and so he's wearing a cast on his grinder, and he couldn't play the drums. So we had to call on our backup. Oh, grinder. Cast on his finger, not the grinder. The grinder might have been broke too, I don't know. Depends on how hard his finger was. But Maddie stepped in. Maddie stepped in and did a great... Could you even tell the difference today? No. It wasn't it awesome? Thank you, Maddie, for stepping in. Maddie is helping in this, allowing the spiritual food to be spread throughout this place. Every one of you who is a part of this church that is faithful in helping and showing up and doing your part, thank you for allowing the spiritual food to come through this place. People's lives are being touched. And there's this cycle to where not only is their life being touched just one Sunday, but then they come back and before long, they're involved in something. And before long, they're standing up here receiving the offering. Or they're standing over there singing songs to our kids. All of it is part of what we're talking about today. Using your spiritual gifts. Let me give you a few things that have happened over this year. 16 people have already been baptized this year because of the spiritual food that is being let out through this place. Through your tithes and offerings, we keep the food pantry going along with other churches in town. Through your tithes and your offerings, we received an offering a few weeks back for the hurricane relief. And between the four locations that we have, we raised $3,600 in order to help those people who are having to restart their lives. It's because you were willing to give. We talked about last week this oil change ministry that we have of helping people who can't afford to have that done. We have people that are stepping up and doing that. A few months back, we did the party in the park. And we took the spiritual ministry or the spiritual food that we received here and we moved it to the park. And we were able to share that with the community. All of that happens because of you. The tithe provides for God's work through His church. Number two, tithing teaches me to put God first. Through tithing, we give our first and our best to God, and He can bless the rest. We give our first and our best. Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, that your barns will be filled with overflowing. We give Him our best. Why? Not because of what we will receive. It's because He gave His best. Did God not give His only Son to die for you and me? And how about this? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, not He gave to us after we accepted Him. While we were still sinners, He gave His best and His first to us. Why wouldn't we want to give back the same? Now I want to give you a little context, because this scripture is used a lot in receiving the tithes and offerings, and it's Malachi 3:8, and it says, "Will a man rob God, yet you rob me?" You ask, how do you rob me? Well, it's through the offerings, tithes and offerings. But let me give you some context to this. For years, God had blessed his people, and they would be faithful to return their first and their best. And so if they had sheep or goats or whatever they had, they would take that best sheep they had, the first that came out, and they would say, this is for God. Until before long, they started getting more and more. And they started saying, but, you know, I've got so much now that that would cost me a lot to give a tenth. So I'm going to lower the standard a little bit. And instead of giving my first and my best, I got this little blind one over here that I really won't miss. I mean, this one over here has got a broken leg. How about I just start giving those? That'll be just as good as if I had given my first and my best. But in that, they're giving God their leftovers. And so all of a sudden, their crops were not doing well. The economy tanked. And God basically said, if you want to ignore me, let's see how well that goes for you. Now, I'm not telling you that story to say that's going to happen to you. It's not what I'm saying at all. So please do not hear that. But why I tell that story is because it was their heart. Once again, it wasn't about the lamb or the sheep or the goat. It was about their heart. And they were not willing to give their first and their best. And so by tithing, it teaches me to put God first. Which is exactly, once again, what he did for each one of us. Number three, and I'll close with this. Tithing increases my faith in God. Tithing increases my faith in God. You will see that 90 people stand up here all the time and talk about this, okay? So this is not me just saying this. You will see that 90% with God's blessing will go further than 100% without. 90% with God's blessing will go further than 100% without. So let's go back to Malachi 3:10. And he says this, "Test me in this," says the Lord Almighty. "Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Here's the thing. It's interesting that in the Bible, numbers represent different things. For instance, the number 7, that's God's number, the number of perfection. One less, number 6, is Satan's number, 666. You've heard this before. It's evil, it's bad. Different numbers mean different things. 10 seems to oftentimes in the Bible be the picture for the number of... Let me give you some examples so you understand where I'm going with this. God gave us 10 commandments. 10 things for us to live by. When God tested Pharaoh's heart in the Old Testament, how many plagues did he send to test Pharaoh's heart? 10. In the New Testament, how many virgins were tested to see if they were prepared for the return of the bridegroom? 10. How many lepers were healed to test and see who would come back to give gratitude to Jesus? 10. How many disciples are there? I got you. There's 12 disciples. I just wanted to have a little fun. 10 is the number of testing. And God wants to know, will you love and trust money or will you love and trust God? Will you return what he's asked us to do? And he says, test me in it. Test me and just try it. Once again, you're not giving for the motive that it will be returned, but it is promised that way. And it will not necessarily be in money, because when it says, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it, it's not saying, if you look for the Hebrew word for blessing or the Greek word for blessing, if you try to translate that word blessing, it never says, blessing means brand new car. It never says blessing means the biggest house in town. Actually, the Hebrew word for blessing can be translated into peace. Peace. I don't think it's any accident that Dave Ramsey called it Financial Peace University. When it comes to our finances and when it comes to understanding what God has asked us to do, you will be blessed beyond what you can imagine. Why? Not because of what you give. Not because of the number amount. Not because we need it. Once again, it's because of your heart. And you're saying, God, you're Lord of every part of my life. God, I give you everything that you ask. If you want to be different, you don't want to live the norm with unrest, unable to sleep at night, with tension in your life. It comes down to being different and doing what Caleb did when it says he had a different spirit. It said he followed God fully. Will you bow your heads with me? I know this wasn't fun. This is where it's just up to God. I leave this with Him. I did what I feel like I needed to do. I said what I felt like He led me to say. And I have to pray. I was praying all week. I was praying last night. But before I sat down and read through this and I prayed, God, may they understand my heart. And may they walk out of this room understanding you and what it means to be different. So with your head bowed, this has not been a salvation message. I understand that. But God can still work in this room. And I'm going to ask, if you're in this room right now and you're saying, Chad, God doesn't have all of my heart. Before I even get to tithing, I need to know what it is to just accept Jesus Christ into my life. And you want to do that in this moment. I'm just wanting to pray with you. I will not embarrass you. I will not take this any further other than asking you to raise your hand and we will say a prayer together. Is there anyone in this room who just needs to accept Jesus Christ in your heart right now? If you would just lift your hand up, please. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? I want all of us to pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I receive you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. And I give him my heart right now. Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me. Heal me. Have all of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even when we're talking about tithing, God still cares more about our hearts. He cares about every single one of us in the room. And I want you to know that I love you. I care for you. If you have questions about this, if you have any concerns about what it means to tithe or where we get this from, once again, you have notes on the back. If you're studying that and you have a question, call me. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But as we leave this place today, I don't want to just leave on this idea of tithing. I want us to leave on the idea of being different. As I said before, it's why we covered this whole series. Is there's way more to this than just, like I said, being willing to tithe. It's about all of our heart and our life being willing to follow Christ. So will you stand on your feet with me? And we're going to close in prayer. After we close in prayer, you can be dismissed. If you have anything you need prayer for today, it doesn't involve anything we talked about. I will be here. My wife will be here. We would love to pray with you today. Before you leave, we will agree with you in prayer. But Heavenly Father, each one of us in this room have been called to be different. And I pray that you would use us. May we apply what we've heard over the last few weeks. And may you speak to us today. And not just in this moment, may we not walk out of this place and be the same. May we not walk out and forget everything we heard, but may we begin to apply what you have spoken into our lives, not just today, but throughout this series. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you and we thank you for your goodness, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.